Broadcasting live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at The Avenue, it's time for Point Taken. Here are your hosts, Steve Scafidi and Kristen Bry.
Oh, you just get me for the first hour because Kristen Bry is on assignments. I'm not even going to give her any grief because we were out together with our spouses last night. Lake Park Bistro, hello! Along the bluffs of Milwaukee. Fantastic meal there. Maybe she had too much wine. But no, she's on assignment. She'll be here, I think, about right before the top of the next hour. Thanks to Constance Weber. Another outstanding news update there. Of course, it's not Constance. It's Connie. But I like the name Constance for some reason. I don't know. It strikes me as fancy. And I know Connie a little bit, and she is fancy. And smart. And really good at her job. So thanks for that news update. We'll get back to that at the bottom of the hour for you kids. That's 10:30. A dumb joke, but I always love saying it. All right, so let's focus on the things that I think are important. So I spent some time yesterday in the context of the show talking about Elon Musk, the billionaire that people just have this billionaire envy over, sort of like old guys with Corvettes and other weird stuff. This one's about money. And Elon sort of stepped in it a little bit, because we know he's buddy-buddy with the President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. And we just got a little short piece of audio that sort of sums up what he's trying to say here.
So, you know, I was, like, disappointed to see the massive spending bill, frankly, which increases the budget deficit, not just decrease it, and undermines the work that the Doge team is doing.
I actually thought that when this big, beautiful bill came along, I mean, like, everything he's done on Doge gets wiped out in the first year.
I think a bill can be big or it can be beautiful, but I don't know if it can be both. My personal opinion.
Little Elon Musk there. I don't remember off the top of my head what that came from, but one of the things
CBS this morning looked like.
CBS this morning. Thanks to producer Jazz, always doing
Sunday morning. I'm sorry, I had the sun in the.
That's right. It's an upcoming interview, I think, with him on CBS Sunday morning. I didn't see the entire program this weekend. Anyway. I actually agree with Elon Musk. This is not a big, beautiful bill because it explodes our deficit. So look at me and all you texters yesterday saying, oh my God, you're so critical of Elon Musk. He's pointing out something to you. You can have this fascination, this cult-like fascination with the President of the United States. You can have a cult-like fascination with Elon Musk, one of the richest men in the world, the richest man in the world currently, but fading quickly. And still understand that perfection is not happening here. We are getting a bill, and I always have to preface this with, I'm a small government guy. I want a balanced budget. I applaud leaders who do it, from local to state to federal to presidents. Good goal. And on its face, this big, beautiful bill, as the president likes to call it, does not do that. And his point man for government efficiency, Elon Musk, is basically telling you that in his own words. Not me saying that. Him saying that. So what do you Muscovites say about that? Because I'm going to spend the next half hour sort of dissecting this love affair that we all seem to have with Elon Musk. And it actually ties into something that Kristen and I talked about on our You Need to Listen podcast, which I'm wearing a shirt today, by the way. The lovely logoed shirt. I should sell those. Can I make money on my... No, I can't do that. Probably not. Would WTMJ get mad if I did that? Probably. Why don't we have a... Here's the thought off the top of my head. Why don't we have a WTMJ store? Jazz, would you work at the WTMJ store selling T-shirts in your free time?
I mean, I've never worked a cash register before. I worked retail at a grocery store, but always as a bagger and a stocker.
It's all digital transactions. They slap their credit card on the machine, and it brings it up, and you're good to go. They don't even have to sign it anymore. Easy! All right, so all the talking heads, all of the smart people, all of the leadership... WTMJ store. Online. Online. Anyway. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. I got a lot of Elon Musk content. So yesterday, not only did Elon Musk sort of blow up the big, beautiful budget bill, BBBB, he also blew something else up. And for all those fans of going to space and going to the moon and going to Mars, whew, kablooey. As they say in cartoons. Not good. That's next. 620 WTMJ. Too easy, Jazz. Too easy. Let's talk about Elon Musk in this half hour of the program. Welcome to Point Taken. Kristen's on assignment. She'll be here at some point during the program today. We have a shortened show today because the Brewers, those red-hot Milwaukee Brewers, winners of three straight, Yelly walk-off last night. And I'm happy for Yelly. Because last time I went to a game last week, WTMJ Day, he was batting 201. He's put some homers up on the board. So I hope this is the start of something beautiful, a beautiful relationship. All right, speaking of relationships, I played in the first segment a little bit of Elon Musk on CBS talking about the fact that he's questioning the validity of the assumption that this big, beautiful budget bill can be both things, big and beautiful. And I actually supported his take on it because I don't think they can be, especially when you're exploding our deficit by, what, $5 trillion. The other big explosion yesterday, and this is not going to be a complimentary view of Elon Musk, his SpaceX program. They had the big explosion in January, big explosion in Mars, and last night the Super Heavy Starship, everything is like declarative now, big term, Super Heavy Starship rocket. Ninth test flight, both stages blowing up as part of the controlled descents on splashdown. I actually watched the whole, they were so excited, the crew of SpaceX, was it Starbase in Texas there? Oh, super excited. Everything's working beautifully until it wasn't. So they had this steeper descent, and they were supposed to splash down in the Gulf. Catastrophic failure when its engines reignited for what was supposed to be this sort of gentle, you know, landing, splashdown, I should say, in the Gulf of Mexico. SpaceX, yeah, bring that music up a little bit. I think we need a little space, a little more. Yes. We're talking about space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of SpaceX. So, an overarching idea here is that Elon Musk is the guy that's going to lead us to space and Mars. And anytime you, obviously the folks at NASA will say there's always going to be these failures. This is three in a row for SpaceX, though, where they've not been able to sort of successfully do, and these are all phases, right? Getting to the next step. Massive rockets that can take us to Mars in whatever it takes, 6 months or whatever. Apparently this one had to do with a propellant leak. So Super Elon Musk, again, I don't have the cult worship that a lot of people have. I don't like, because someone's a billionaire, I don't believe that they can do no wrong. He can do wrong. But when I see these things, I'm like, is this the guy we want to have us go to space with? See, I'm a NASA guy. I'm on their side. I know they've partnered with SpaceX on some things. We obviously have the Blue Origin story as well. Bezos. The Buff Bezos, by the way. Look about bees. Buff Bezos. See the arms on that guy? Crazy. Anyway, Elon Musk, I don't trust. Elon Musk, I don't trust. And when I, you know, see the fascination with the billionaire story, and this, actually, I was making this point earlier and I kind of got away from it. Chris and I spent a podcast talking about this sort of cult worship of billionaires. I think that the episode was, Are All Billionaires Bad? Or something like that. No, they're not bad. It's just we have to get past our obsession and our fascination and our worshiping of people because they have a lot of money. Having success financially doesn't mean you're any better, any smarter. It just means you're richer. And Elon Musk has been benefited by governmental programs. He continues to see the Starlink program heavily funded by us taxpayers. So I guess my message on the Elon Musk thing is, let's slow the roll on Musk taking us to Mars. Let's take a breath. Let's see what he can do. Let's see if he can launch these things and not blowing them up every time, these massive, massive rockets. So he's actually moving up. He calls it his cadence. The next three are going to be quicker flights. One a month or less. Quicker. They're going to review all the errors of this story to see what went wrong. Here's a little CBS piece on sort of the
overall view of what happened yesterday. You want to play it?
Tuesday's launch was meant as a test of the mega rocket Starship the company hopes to one day send to the moon and then Mars. Once in orbit, the ship was to release a series of satellites.
We heard the door open was in progress.
But SpaceX Mission Control soon realized the door wasn't working.
So it does look like we're not going to be able to deploy Starlinks today.
From there, things only got worse. During its descent toward the Indian Ocean, the spacecraft, with no crew aboard, exploded. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Thank you, Jim Ryan. And for Elon Musk, nice try. You get a participation trophy on your SpaceX rocket booster. Phase in, or what are you calling it? Good luck on your future endeavors. And my next Muscovite piece is on his businesses, because as the Morning Brew told me this morning, nice update I get every morning on the news of the day or the previous day, things not looking very well, which is why we see the shift from government Elon to private sector Elon. Thanks to Jazz for the beautiful background music as we explore space and the final frontier and Elon Musk and all his deficiencies right here on Point Taken on 620 WTMJ. Oh, yes, Point Taken on this hump day. We're bringing that back. Even the Brewers manager, Pat Murphy, used the term yesterday, hump, getting over the hump or something like that. All right, so the third leg, the trifecta of Muscovites and their obsession, fascination, cult-like worship of the richest man in the world has to do with this business. So the big story is the, sort of the separation, departure of Elon Musk from his Doge office, which fell, just a little bit outside of their goal of finding $2 trillion in budget savings. And we'll see how that shakes out. Because, again, saying you're trimming the budget and actually seeing those results, vastly different things. Show me something is the way I like to describe that. So he's taking his MAGA hat off, which he wore enthusiastically during the campaign, exchanging it for his CEO cap, putting the old CEO cap on. So if you start with Tesla, the EV maker has had boycotts of his product, his profit drop of 71% in quarter one. That's not insignificant. That's 7.1, 71% profit drop in quarter one. Yesterday, the EU Automobile Manufacturers Association reported Tesla sales in Europe plummeted by nearly 50% in April. So that's Tesla. Things not going well at Tesla. I see a lot of Teslas on the road, though, so somebody's still driving them. Then we go to X, or as I like to say, Twitter, which everybody with a functioning brain still calls it Twitter because X is a stupid name and a stupid company name. But anyway, the social media platform still dealing with errors and outages, left tens of thousands of users without access on Saturday, which last time I checked is a busy day on the weekend for social media users. Traffic was down almost 10% from the 2024 presidential election through this March. So he's seeing a decline in those revenues. Now, a Starlink thing is going well, mainly because of government contracts that he's sewn up with his pal and buddy, President Donald J. Trump. And there's some good news. His Neuralink company, the brain chip company, did raise $600 million to a $9 billion valuation. So while he's suffering in the short term, don't feel sorry for Elon Musk. His companies are significant. They're worldwide. And over the last 4 years, made him the richest man in the world. So don't feel sorry for him. Just understand, whoever you're talking about, whether it's Donald J. Trump, it's Joe Biden, Elon Musk, I understand it's a weird trifecta there. Being obsessed with people that are in leadership positions, and you have to qualify Elon Musk because he's a leadership position in private sector business, but also in government because he's leading what Donald J. Trump called his most important department, government efficiency. I would say not leading it well, given the number of people who were fired and then brought back. Because the devil's in the details. How you do something is just as important as what you are doing. That's the problem. That's the logic gap for most people. They like the idea. I've got friends who love Elon Musk. Jim, I'm talking about you. You love Elon Musk. but you got to do it in the right way. If you run a business, just whacking people indiscriminately can destroy your product line. It can destroy your marketing efforts. It can destroy your company because you took the wrong people out. And that's sort of what happened with Doge. Indiscriminately firing people by number, not worth, not value to the bottom line, in this case, performance of a government agency, is not smart anything. It's not the smart business. It's not smart politics. It makes you look stupid. And I know that's ironic for some people because, yes, you can be the richest man in the world and also on some things the dumbest person in the world. And I just direct you to some of his most recent commentary on a lot of different things. Because for a lot of people, Elon Musk was also obsessed with the idea of Donald J. Trump as a leader. Now, it doesn't mean Donald J. Trump as president won't achieve some good things. I hope he does, because I don't cheerlead for bad news, unlike some other people who do what I do. The reason I spent time on this is because of all you texters yesterday, you're not being fair to Elon Musk. What am I not being fair about? If your mission is to Mars, you can't keep blowing up rocket boosters. Who's going to jump in a spaceship with that's highly likely to blow up? Who's going to sign up to work in a company where the leadership is absent? Who's going to do that? And lastly, if you're going to call it a big, beautiful budget bill, make sure it is what you say it is. And don't add $5 trillion to the deficit. That doesn't suggest that you're managing your budget effectively. All right, lots more to talk to, including a drug story next.
Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Oh, yeah, hump day! Happy Wednesday, everybody. All right, so Kristen's going to be back in studio at some point. She's on assignment currently, but she'll be back with us. And we're going to do a special shortened edition of Ask Us Anything in the 11 o'clock hour. So if you have questions, you can start firing them our way at the old Signing Unlimited WTMJ talking text line, 855-616-1620, 855-616-1620. Somebody asked if I was watching the rocket explode yesterday. I did watch it twice, yes. They were so happy, the Starbase folks, and then, of course, it blew up. On its descent, but, you know, hopefully they've learned, or they will learn from this slight regression in their phased plan for going to Mars. You never know. All right. I wanted to talk about this because a texter, I don't know when we were talking about this. Chris and I were talking about this last week, I believe. Weight loss drugs. And there's a whole bunch of them. But I wanted to just get to some of this stuff because I think it's important. Wegovy's one, Mounjaro is another one, I think. The context of the question was, do you think that Medicare / Medicaid, right? Medicare for over 65, Medicaid for younger than that. Should they cover these GLP-1 drugs? It's an interesting question because here's some numbers. 4% of the population is currently utilizing GLP drugs, injections, primarily, to lose weights. Now, there's other things that can help, or they can do with these things, the Ozempics, right, and some of the other ones I just mentioned. They can be used to treat things like diabetes and cardiovascular disease. But here's my question. This is why I think this is fascinating. I want to do a doctor on this segment in the future. If you know that it's working for people, I have family members who have utilized the injections and have lost significant weight and look fantastic and are... More importantly, when they go for their physicals or their doctor visits, the doctors are saying to them, your numbers are great. Now, I didn't use that option. I went to Milwaukee Weight Loss and lost 40 pounds, and I have an annual physical, and I had that about 2 months after I started the program, and my numbers were exactly where they needed to be. Matter of fact, my new doc, because my other doctor in retirement, Dr. Bill Steinman, retired after like 40 years, said, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. But the question is a valid one. If on the front end it costs, numbers are like $500 per injection, some a little more, some a little less, currently, but they are effective at controlling people's weight and more importantly, reducing their weight. So they go from obese to average size, average weight for their age. And it does trigger some of the declines that we're seeing in cardiovascular disease, maybe diabetes, type 2. I think we have to look at the significance of those investments on the front end. And that's where it gets tricky for people. They don't understand, well, why would we pay all this money? Can't they just eat less? That's not how it works for some people. Because of their genetics. Maybe they have a sedentary lifestyle where they sit at work for long periods. Age is certainly a factor in that. It gets harder to lose weight when you get older. It's easier to gain weight. So right now, the current status is those drugs utilized solely for weight loss are excluded from Medicare Part D coverage. Unless, this is a big unless or a but, they are used for type 2 diabetes or some of the cardiovascular diseases. Then there's a clear link. But my question is broader than that. If we can demonstrate that there's a link between losing weight, GLP or otherwise, and our combined costs of health care in this country, reducing the number of visits you make to your doctor, making you healthier because you're not at that more substantial weight that has put you in these high-risk categories for all kinds of ailments. Doesn't it make sense? And the reason I brought this up is because Donald Trump has said he's not paying for it. He did a whole rant last week about one of his friends who he said the drug's not working for. I'll raise my hand. I know people that are taking the shots and they are working for them. And they've lost significant weight and they look fantastic. It's an interesting debate, but it demonstrates loudly and clearly sometimes investment up front, often substantial, can reap significant rewards down the line. And that's a problem for most people to understand because they don't see the immediate impact. Weight loss takes time. Understanding that being smart fiscally means sometimes an investment that doesn't pay off for years or decades. With a healthier U.S. population, short-term wisdom means you should at least look at this. Right now, the President of the United States says no to these weight loss GLP-1 drugs. You know what my answer is? Say yes. Because I think there's long-term benefits that can save our country money on health care, and probably more importantly, can save you money on your health care. Something to think about. After the break, I'm going the complete opposite. I'm doing a 180, celebrating a special day for a lot of Americans. You know what it is? We'll find out after this.
I like mine with lettuce and tomato, hot 57 and French fried potatoes.
Oh, thank you, Jimmy Buffett. Jeff Wagner somewhere is raising his hand saying, give me more of that. National Hamburger Day. Yes, we're celebrating. We've been celebrating this holiday since all the way back to 2010. It's a creation of social media, obviously. Most of these things are now. There's days for everything now. But National Hamburger Day, did you know? Every year in the United States, roughly 50 billion burgers are served. 50 billion. That's a lot of burgers. Now, I don't eat burgers a lot, but when I have one, it's usually very good and worth waiting for. Now, because I'm an action guy, I love when different companies, different orgs do something about the day. So I found this story, National Hamburger Day, celebrated Wednesday, May 28th. There's a range of places who are celebrating National Hamburger Day as part of National Hamburger Month. Burger King, my friends at Burger King, I think we have one or two of those in Oak Creek. You can get a free hamburger with a purchase of $1 or more. Hello. Love that. Thank you, Burger King. Here's an odd one. Buffalo Wild Wings. Not just chicken, apparently. Half off any burger. Look who just came in studio. Kristen Bry.
Hi.
I am telling you right now, I'm wound up this hour.
Are you?
Oh, I'm
did
having...
Elon Musk get you all wound
oh,
up?
Oh, of course he did.
All right.
It was everything fun. National Hamburger Day. How do you celebrate? How do you choose to celebrate it?
You know, well, Dairyland's right out there in the 3rd Street Market Hall. They actually have a really good burger.
Have you had their burger? Great food.
Good smash burger.
You know, we're both still full from our outstanding meal last night at the Lake Park Bistro. Thanks to, was it Mariano, the general manager, and
Amanda.
Amanda, the executive chef. It was, and thanks to you guys for buying.
Yeah.
That was very, very nice.
Yeah, got to hang out with the spouses.
So are you going to make a hamburger today in honor of National Hamburger Day?
Sure.
Yeah,
why not? Let's do it. So, homemade hamburgers, or go get one.
Dairy Queen, you can get a if you get a stacked burger, you get another one for 99.
Does Dairy Queen have a good burger?
Yes, I got one right by me.
Really?
Oh yes.
I only think of Dairy Queen as ice cream or soft serve.
No, they got everything. It's all good.
Okay.
They have wicked desserts at Dairy Queen. Wicked.
What is their slushies called?
Oh, I don't know.
That's what I always used to get.
I drank a lot of slushies when I was young because I worked outside.
Well, yeah.
In the
When's
summer.
The last time you had a slushie?
Like 30 years.
Yeah. You've never had a movie theater?
No. No. Wendy's, if you you can tack on a 1 cent bacon cheeseburger junior. 1 cent. That's pricing that matters. Shake Shack.
Culver's has something today? Is a butter burger deal?
I got to look it up. Shake Shack, you can get a free shake burger with a $10 purchase or more. So lots of things you can do on National Burger Day. I'll say this. I probably eat burgers like 3 times a year, but when I do, they're worth the wait. They're so good. Now I feel like I have to have a hamburger.
Onion rings or fries?
I'm leaning onion rings now.
Ooh.
Are they better for you than fries, do you think?
Probably not. I think fried is fried.
Yeah?
I mean, the onion itself is probably less caloric than the potato.
Yeah, I would think.
Less
carbs,
but
obviously.
There's still the fried outside part.
What if you
still
tamp them off with a paper towel like my
probably
mom?
Helps. It's like what you do with a pizza slice.
Yeah. Do you do that?
No.
No, I don't either, because that's the good stuff, right? The fat. That's why they used to cook with lard and bacon fats, because it tasted good. That's why donuts are so awesome. It's just
the good stuff. The good stuff isn't necessarily the good for you stuff.
Yeah. You didn't listen to any of the show, obviously. No.
Is it good?
It was brilliant, actually.
Jazz, was it brilliant?
Yes.
Yeah, see? Okay. It was brilliant. See, I like to flex when you're gone. I flex.
You like to remind me that you did this by yourself for a long time.
For many, many years. You know, there are people that are now driving around with hashtag more Steve bumper stickers on their cars. I don't know if you know this.
Are you just putting them on people's cars?
I completely made that up. I just completely made that up.
Just in every parking lot you go into, just the bandit, the bumper sticker bandit, throwing your own hashtag on everyone's car.
There are people that are talking in the social media circles about expanding this to 3 hours, what we do.
You've offered. We've offered.
I've offered. Because let's be honest, the morning zoo, they don't need 4 hours. They're repeating everything in the fourth hour. We know what Vince and Eric do. We see them every day. 3 hours of what we do, action-packed.
People need it.
I think they do need it.
I need it.
Jazz needs it. Not sure what she's talking about there, but let's just say that could happen. So what should the hashtag be for that? Hashtag hour three, hour, what could it be?
Hashtag more points taken.
More point taken?
Hashtag.
Let's start that.
Right, we'll keep it thinking.
Let's get that ball rolling. All right. Here's the thing. We have a shortened show today.
We do.
You had some
have
very...
Have you already told everyone that we're back to Ask Us Anything?
Yes.
So submit questions.
We have an early out for the Brewers who are on a hot streak right now, 3 in a row. Yelly with the Grand Slam walk-off, which he never done before in his career, which is sort of
really?
Never.
Wow.
He never had a walk-off before, and he's
okay.
MVP previously. So we're going to wrap the rest of the 10 o'clock hour after this break, and then Ask Us Anything. So get the questions in now. Anything's fair game. Any question you want to ask, Kristen or yours truly, we'll do our best to answer them. 855-616-1620. That's the Siding Unlimited WTMJ Talking Text Line. Happy Hump Day. Happy National Burger Day, and happy hashtag whatever the what, hashtag
points more, taken
more point taken
more point taken.
I take that point.
Take the points.
Yes, that's a good advice. Kristen, Steve, 620 WTMJ.
All right, Steve. Well, I think I knew this somewhere back in the back of my brain, but we had some callers call in to remind us that on National Hamburger Day, some say the hamburger was created right here in Wisconsin.
I did not know this.
So the story goes back to the 1800s. So it's ways back.
Wow.
So Charlie Nagrain was born in Hortonville, Wisconsin in 1870. And so he had a career in beef and onions.
Makes sense.
And in 1885, when he was 15, he traveled to Seymour to sell his meatballs at the fair. And so what he thought, you know, people would be hungry, they're at the fair, they're seeing the different agricultural sites and exhibits. But what he didn't realize was that people wanted to keep moving while they were visiting the displays. Mm. So he was a very resourceful young man. And he had an outgoing personality. So he, since he wasn't experiencing as much success selling just the meatballs, he located some bread. He realized that people could take the meal with them if he simply smashed the meat together between two pieces of bread. He called it a hamburger. And yes, in 1885, legend has it, the burger was born at the fair in Seymour, Wisconsin.
I think we should celebrate that more. I think that's a big story.
just go Charlie. Thanks, Charlie. Just yeah. Thanks, Charlie. Shirts
Charlie Nygren?
With like a big hamburger on
Nygren,
it.
Nygren, you said?
Nagreen? Nagreen? N-A-G-R-E-E-N.
Nagreen. Nagreen.
Nagreen?
I think that's an incredible story. We should celebrate that more because if that's true.
I'm sure there's disputes. I'm sure there's other places.
It's like pizza.
I love, you know, the French, like the French in the south of France.
Yeah.
They claim pizza.
Yeah. And, you know,
Italians don't like that.
Yeah. You know, the Napoleons and Napoleons, is that what they, Naples, whatever they're called. And then somebody in Chicago says, well, no, we invented pizza. It's like, seriously, it was around 2,000 years ago. What are you talking about? Just because you make good pizza doesn't mean you invented it. Bottom line is, even though I was just talking about weight loss drugs, there's nothing like great food. And a hamburger can do it for me still.
You get fresh ingredients for it. I feel like a lot of our food is bad because of the preservatives that are in it, not just because, you know, beef. Like, there's like a certain amount of fat is good for you, a certain amount of, you know, everything in moderation. It's really preservatives that I think make us feel bad, also it keeps food from going bad.
Every time I go to Europe, I marvel at how good their food is. The simple things, the sandwiches.
How do you think the food's going to be in Scotland?
I hope good. I've never been there.
What is Scottish food? How different is it from Irish food?
A lot of lamb and stewish type things.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. That's coming up. What are you going to do when I'm gone all that time?
I'm celebrating my birthday.
Yeah. I'll get you something from Scotland. I don't know what that would be. Maybe a scarf.
Kilt?
I already have a kilt. I should bring it with me.
Wear it on your return back, when your first show back.
June
You're wearing
25th.
Our shirt today for our podcast.
You need to
wear
listen
your
podcast.
Kilt when you get back from Scotland.
Just, I know we're late for break, but one of my ideas, because I was throwing out a lot of smart ideas in the first 45 minutes.
Okay.
Why don't we have a WTMJ store where people could actually buy the things that we...
Well, we have a store. I just think it's internal.
No, external.
We probably talked to HR about that. Yeah.
I think that's like the most brilliant idea I've had in a long time.
I'm going to have hashtag more point taken.
I volunteered Jazz to run that store.
All right, we're late for break. But submit your questions, 855-616-1620. And when we come back, you can ask us anything.
Now it's time for Ask Us Anything on Point Taken. Got a burning question? Give us a call or text on the Siding Unlimited Talk and Text line at 855-616-1620.
Yes, Ask Us Anything is back. We got a shortened show today. Brewers coming up right after the bottom of the hour news. 11:30 for you kids. Kristen Bry's in her chair. I'm in mine. Let's go to the phone lines. You haven't done that in a while.
I know.
Don from the West Side, you're a VIP special caller on the first question of the day on Ask Us Anything. What is your question, Don?
Yes, on Meet the Press, Trump was asked if, as the president, he has to uphold the Constitution, and he said he didn't know. My question is he just that stupid that he doesn't know what the answer is, or is it because during the campaign he said from day one he was going to be a dictator, and as a dictator he doesn't have to bother with the Constitution? If we don't have the Constitution, this country is finished.
All right, thanks for the call, Don. I'll let you hang up and listen to the answer.
He didn't put his hand in the Bible.
No.
At this inauguration.
Trickeration with the Bible.
I don't know.
Oh, it's not that hard. Yeah, he's too dumb to understand he's supposed to have to hold the Constitution.
I just think he's...
Not hard.
I think he just wanted to get out of that question. I don't know.
Oh, he's good. He's good at that. Here's the thing.
I think he knows. I think he just didn't want to answer the question beyond being like, well, I'll check with my lawyers. I'm not going to do anything wrong. I'm just going to check my lawyers.
And save the Trump text. I've already said I don't like him. But I respect the office, so I therefore have to respect the president. Whether I like him or not is a side issue.
Here's my question for people. Because ultimately, I don't know, how do I want to phrase this? Like, what are we supposed to do? I think that's the question I don't think we're the only ones who are saddled with this question as media folks. Of like, all right, so he is president. He does stuff daily that... creates cause to have an opinion about or a reaction to. And so for people who get angry with us about reacting to the things that he's doing, granted that he is like the most powerful person in the world, are we just supposed to ignore it? Are we supposed to not have honest reactions? Are we like, what do people want us to do who are Trump fans and understand that our job is our job? And it, to be authentic, like, we have to respond based on our experience, based on what we know, and give you our honest opinion, because that's what we're paid to do, is give our opinion.
They want you to just go along. Mm. I'm not a go-alonger, so that's not going to be what I do. And you can, you're free to choose what you do. I, you know, this idea that we have to have a president who antagonizes the press. So if he doesn't like a question, going back to sort of the, what we were just talking about, he just criticizes the report, doesn't, never answers the question. Trump in an interview, I encourage you, because I do this a lot.
Read the transcript.
Read the transcript. It's fascinating. One, there's not a completely finished thought process in any of the answers. They're like meandering, what do you call it, the weave? It's like, it's moronic. And I think a president should be smarter than that.
I guess all right, I don't take. Want Trump to take over or ask us anything. No. So let's all go right. to a fun question.
All right,
because
fun.
This dates back over a year. So when you, when I first started spanning the state in February of 2024, you were on with me, I think, the second day.
Yeah.
And we had Nick Wood and Zarko Bogovich. I still can't pronounce his name. I couldn't pronounce it then. I still can't.
Bogovich?
Yeah, something like that. So this is from BZ Consortium, which is up in Waupaca. Uh-huh. And they're the only distributors of the wine of the sea.
Yeah.
So it was wine that is literally aged.
At the bottom of the sea.
At the bottom of the Adriatic Sea. And it, like, it comes in these beautiful, I wonder if it's still, if you text wine, we should see if you can still see the bottle, because we sent people a year ago.
It was
and
amazing.
I wonder if that link
it
is still.
It has like coral formations.
So it has coral formations on it, so these beautiful bottles. And he, Zarko was super kind. He came and brought us two bottles of wine each. And so the question was, Kristen, I'm dying to know if you tried your wine at the sea. Almost bought one after your segment a long time ago. My recommendation, buy one. It was so good.
It was delicious. We had it at a family event. Everyone loved it. The taste was amazing. And something about that aging at the bottom, the cool water, made it taste amazing. I don't remember the brand, not the brand.
The type of wine.
The type of wine.
I had one white and one red.
I had a red. Good. I had a red, and it was fantastic. So
I think we need to get Zarko back on the show, even though there's nothing to do with politics.
Yeah, we should.
In the hopes that he just brings us more wine.
Yeah. Is that self-serving? Yeah.
It's totally self-serving. I'm sorry. How many partner reads do you have every day that's a little self-serving?
Come on now.
Come on now.
All right, we got to take a break.
All right, we'll take a break. Ask us anything. 855-616-1620. Shoot us a text or give us a call on Point Taken.
Ask us anything on this Hump Day edition, Kristen and Steve in studio on Point Taken on WTMJ.
All right, here's one. Have you ever been dog sledding before?
Dog sledding? No.
I have also never been dog sledding. Would you go dog sledding?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
I would also go dog sledding.
Although I'm not a fan of the cold.
I think you get like big parkas. I think they
and the big
prepare
gloves,
you.
Big
yeah.
mitts.
I had a friend who did it. When did I see Lindsay? She went and she said it was fun.
I would imagine.
She felt bad at the dogs though. She was like, this is.
No, dogs love it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And people that raise those dogs, they love those dogs. I mean, they're part of their family. So, yeah, I would definitely
do it. Have not done it.
All right. Real quick one. Joe B. from West Alica. That's interesting. How'd you do deer hunting last year? I told a story. I didn't see one deer. It's the first time in my history of deer hunting. Not.
You didn't see a deer?
I didn't see a deer. Typically, I see 30 on opening day. Not a one.
Wow.
It was a long, long weekend. Although we had a blast with our partners and the crew. At the next deer camp over, my dad was there cooking his food as always. Cooked his spaghetti and meatballs as he always does. So it was awesome.
Could have made meatballs and hamburgers.
We could have on National Hamburger Day. All right. Well, this is an interesting one because it's about Trump criticism. Now, people like to say, oh, you just hate Trump. Well, I'm not a fan of his. Your constant Trump criticism and terminology used is demeaning. You never belittle Democrats or liberals. Actually, I've cut down liberals a lot over the years. I used to play.
Do you think you've been as hard on any liberals as you are on Trump?
Not now, because there's no liberals in power on the national level. They control Congress, Republicans do, and Trump controls the White House.
Have you ever been that hard on Tony?
Yeah, I've called him out.
You called him names?
I used to play Tammy, the song Tammy, for Tammy Baldwin whenever we talked about her. You ever hear that song?
Was that demeaning?
It was just sort of a silly thing that we did whenever we brought her up on the show.
Okay.
Although I gotta give her credit. She's won big races.
One big racist.
Impressively.
I mean, I feel like she's someone who genuinely has Wisconsinites' best interest at heart as far as the things when she picks her battles as far as what she's advocating for. But
it's interesting, as one of the most extreme liberal members of Congress, she actually aligns herself with some of the issues in Wisconsin that
she has a ton of bipartisan,
yeah, non-liberal
co-author
positions.
Of different bills and stuff where she's worked across the aisle.
And I love her just for the fact that she's promoting this idea that Western Wisconsin sports fans should not be subject
to
the Minnesota Vikings broadcast? Are you serious? Control
the
our state.
Go states. Pack, go, Bill.
Go Pack, go. Go Pack, go.
All right.
I'm on her side of that.
We got time for another one?
Yes.
Okay. As it seems, more Americans are feeling like they are left without a political party. Do you feel like we're getting towards the stages of having an actual viable third party?
Ooh. God, I hope so.
But here's the thing. I think there's so many people who want a third party, but also without knowing what that third party would represent and stand for, how do you know you're going to like? Because what if the third party was to the left or to the right of our current party? Then there's a bunch of people who are moderates who probably still would feel like they're missing. They still don't have a party that suits them, right? Because there's people who are unhappy with the two-party system. But for an actual third party to have the financial backing, the popularity, does it become a middle party?
Yes, of course. That's the only way it can work.
So what would it take from
it would
each,
require,
what would it take from each party to get to grab enough to be a viable option?
It's not as complicated as you think.
What would the platform be?
Center of the road on a lot of issues.
Like what?
Small government, but not stripping all the rights of Americans to have health care and Social Security, something like that. Or you know, an infrastructure plan that doesn't bankrupt us, but still keeps the roads safe. And maybe that's in Wisconsin.
What was Andrew Yang's party that he tried to launch?
Oh, I don't remember.
No, it wasn't No Labels.
One America. I don't know. They all have their... It's got to be center. But here's the thing. Here's how this happens. How do we fund campaigns? Left and right. Republican, Democrats. Individual donations and billionaires. Once the billionaires and the individual donors start donating to whatever that center party is, that center party will be relevant. Without that funding, no.
But the Republican and Democrat, that's the last thing that they want.
Of course.
Like, the bigger threat than either party is a third party, because this is how a duopoly actually works.
The other three,
it's all they have to do right now is make you hate the other party and let them be the less bad option. And so that works for them as parties. And so the threat of a third party is in neither party's interest.
Yeah, and I think that's bad for America.
We should do something that's
different. And until the billionaires and all those people who donate, and I'll be the first to say, donating, if you donate to a campaign, I think you're an idiot. Why they're not using your money wisely. They're buying those stupid campaign ads that none of us will pay attention to. They're wasting your money. Spend your money on something. Donate to a cause you feel good about. The diaper thing that you
were involved. Diaper Mission.
Yeah. Do something positive with it. Stop giving these knuckleheads, which is the nice way of saying you're an idiot, your money to waste. That's why we're at where we're at, because all the money's going to those two parties. It has to stop. It starts with you, though. Two things happen. You give money and you vote. And if you keep voting for those two parties, you're going to be getting what you get, which sucks. Absolutely sucks. I hate parties because they're not productive for our country. They're not. They talk, but they don't do.
Would you prefer to live in a European, like parliament, and when there's more proportional representation?
I'd live in Europe because it's cheaper to live and their food's better and their wine's better. How about that?
All right.
Politics aside, that's the reason I'd go there. Our last break before we get to the bottom of the hour news. She's Chris and I'm Steve. Point taken. Oh, that's for all of you who say I never criticized. I had so much fun with Tammy Baldwin when we were over at the Radio City. This is always the lead into any time we were going to blow her up on something that she was doing. So I miss that. It's a sweet song. It's from like 1960s, I think. Is that Doris Day? Who's singing that song?
I don't know. Whoever put it in there didn't label it.
Oh, that's bad producing 101.
All right. Have you ever participated in any sheep's head tournaments?
No, but I love the game.
All right.
Table talk. I recommend it. And it's an art form. Don't be obvious. Table talk.
Let's see. Oh, this is a funny one. So after this, there's a funny story behind this. So after the election, it's a little bit with a daily show, but there's something about a daily show. There's always stuff to talk about. We never have enough time to talk about all of it. But I feel like when it comes to my column with Journal Sentinel, it's one a week. The weeks come fast, and there's just kind of like, what do I want to talk about this week? Mm-hmm. So sometimes there's a little, I've been serious and been heavy issues week after week, wanting to get it a little bit lighter. So it was after the election, and if you remember, after the election, one of Wisconsin's congressmen, Glenn Grothman, was on the committee that was once again hearing UAP, like asking, having hearings about UFOs, now called UAPs. Right. And I decided to have a little fun with it. and try to, like, an Independence Day, like, unite, like, let's release everything we know so that it can unite us as a country, maybe as a world. And so it was supposed to be a little bit more humorous. USA Today ran it.
Wow.
I got invited on podcasts because people thought I was, people read it and thought I was, like, this, like, advocate for releasing all the records, which, sure, I guess I am, but it's nothing that I have actually been passionate about. But I got a little swept up in the people who are very committed to this, to finding out what we actually know.
I thought the president said he had released all of the UFO stuff or UAP stuff.
Is that... I don't think so.
So I don't. I've said this before. I don't believe in, like, aliens. Those kind of aliens.
What do you? You don't think there's any in the entire universe? We're the only planet that has life on it.
There are alien life forms. There's not alien life forms that we can communicate with.
Okay.
That fly around in flying saucers or whatever else you think they hover around in. Not the Independence Day version of those.
Okay.
You know,
we're not going to be attacked.
They're basically flying modified F-16s, although they're aliens. Like, how did that symmetry work that they have the same sort of planes we have, that our guys can jump in, including the President of the United States?
Bill Pullman.
He is a great actor, by the
way.
He
hasn't been anything in the world.
What's that
time.
Show, Sinners? Is that the show he's on?
The movie that just came out?
No, the show. Is it? Someone tell me.
Bill Pullman's on a current show?
I thought it was called Sinners, but I could be wrong. It's a one-word name. Also, by the way, that Tammy song sung by the outstanding Debbie Reynolds.
Which every Debbie in your age group.
Named after her?
Named after her, including my mother.
I know a lot of Debbies, including Debbie Lazaga.
I don't know if Debbie Lazaga. She might be too young to be named after Debbie Reynolds.
Next time we run into her, let's ask her.
Okay.
All right, so we have a moment left. Thanks for the person that agreed with me on the party sucking thing. It's not good. And another text says the duopoly has to end for the good of America. Let's not act like it can't happen. It can happen. But as I said, the funding has to change. You know, Citizens United.
I would say there's a lot about how we fund our politics that has to change if we want it to be a better America.
I just never can get past
the Citizens United thing is just wild to me.
Let billionaires give as much, like the Elon Musk world. Although, thankfully,
money is speech. Corporations are people.
Elon has decided that it is Sinners. Yeah, that was right. Yeah.
Oh.
The show Sinners. First two seasons, brilliant TV. You have to catch up. You're way behind on your list of shows you have to watch.
I'm behind on most things in life, Steve.
Yeah. Pick it up.
My list is long.
Me telling a young man to get busy. No, you got enough on your plate. But at some point, watch it.
Okay.
So thanks for all the great questions. We do it every Wednesday. Love the questions. Politics or anything, really. It's sort of a pushback.
The hump day special.
The hump day special, yeah. We played the clip, by the way.
That does not surprise me.
We got to play it.
I would expect nothing less.
What are we talking about tomorrow? Oh, Jeremy Janine's going to join us on tomorrow's program.
And we got a bunch of stuff that we didn't get to get to today.
Yeah, like what?
RFK announcing that recommendations for the coronavirus shot. The Ten Commandments will now be displayed in every public classroom in Texas.
Somebody please explain to me how that is not a violation of our Constitution.
I don't know.
I don't get it.
For the first time ever, China dropped its greenhouse gas emissions, which proves it can be done.
So China is paying attention to that problem. Interesting, because that was the argument that conservatives always made. Well, China's not... Yeah. Well,
overall, greenhouse gas emissions have dropped for the first time, thanks largely to the country's aggressively build out of clean energy. What else did I throw in here?
Look at the show planning on live on the air. I love it. That's the different... This is a different kind of show, folks.
The Christian right has become taken with the idea that empathy is a massive sin.
What's the Christian left up to? What are those folks doing?
Helping people, feeding the poor.
Oh, look at you.